Hello. Okay. Just testing. Thanks. Okay. Good evening. Thanks for coming so much. My name is Elizabeth Davis, and I'm the Vice President of STAND, or Students Taking Action Now Darfur, which is the student group that organized this. And this group was actually started at Georgetown in the fall of 2004, and there's now over 200 organizations at college and high school campuses across the country. So if you didn't see when you came in, we have a table, we're selling t-shirts, and we have more information. You can sign up for our listserv. So I hope you'll go by when you leave. I first became aware of the conflict in Sudan and the genocide in the fall of 2004 when I went to a lecture series at American University in DC. And this was at a time when reports were just starting to come out that masses of people were being killed just because of their ethnicity and where they lived. And for those of you who don't know, Darfur is the western region of the country of Sudan, which is in northern Africa. So this group of academics and government officials had come together to be like, what can we do to prevent more people from dying? What can America do to tell the Sudanese government that this isn't acceptable? So one woman got up and spoke who was a doctor who had just spent the summer in Sudan. And she started telling us about 5 and 6 and 7 year old children, little girls who had been raped. And as I'm sitting there listening to this story, all I can think about is my 3 little sisters and what I would do if someone did that to my sister. And this experience made me realize that these people and these mothers and these sisters feel the exact same way that we do. And the fact that this is still going on and that more people haven't stood up and done something about it, then does that mean that that's okay, that their pain is less than our pain, and that their children don't deserve the same rights and protection that ours do? So this is one of the reasons that we brought Muhammad here tonight to talk about this, and hopefully his story and his experiences will put a face on this conflict and help you understand that this is more than just numbers in a faraway country. And I think that all of us, myself included, have the tendency to read about conflicts, whether it's Iraq or Sudan or the Congo, and you read about 100 or 1,000 or 5,000 people who have been killed, and it becomes kind of this hazy blur. You know, we don't really understand it. And I think it's important to realize that every one of those numbers is an individual and a family or a little girl who's been affected by this conflict. An interesting figure from the website beawitness.org. In the month of June 2005, NBC News aired 526 minutes of coverage about the Michael Jackson trial. They aired 85 minutes of coverage about the runaway bride. And in that month, they aired a total of 5 minutes about the genocide in Sudan. And I don't know who's more to blame here, the news people or the audience that they're trying to appeal to. But the fact that this started in 2003, and it's still going on right now, and it's actually gotten worse, I think we're still continuing to send that message that their children don't deserve the same protection that we do. And after the genocide in Rwanda in 1994, Bill Clinton got up and made a speech, and he said, never again. Never again is America going to let something like this happen. And George Bush came into office, and he said, not on my watch. Not on my watch is something like this going to happen ever again. And yet, it is still happening. So what is our role in this? And I think every one of us is so incredibly lucky to be living in a country where we can get up and say what we believe and we can speak out about what we're passionate about without being scared of being put in prison or being killed. And there are so many people around the world who don't have that blessing. And I think that it's important to take advantage of that, at least on behalf of all the people who can't and who this is, that their families are being killed and they're completely powerless and they can't do anything about it. So tonight, Muhammad is going to speak about his experiences. He's from Darfur in Sudan, and he went to school in Cairo, and his village in Sudan was actually attacked by the Janjaweed militias, which are the government-sponsored groups that are perpetrating this genocide, and he'll give you more details about that. He got together a group of Sudanese friends and colleagues and formed the Demanga Coalition for Freedom and Democracy. And this was one of the first groups that actually started telling the international community about the genocide in Sudan and started demanding an end to this violence. So we are really lucky to have him here tonight. Thank you for taking the time to be here. I hope that if you have any questions at the end, you will ask and he will tell you everything. So thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I would like to thank you so much for having me here today in this wonderful evening in this great university. I am Muhammad Yahya, or Muhammad Adam Yahya is the full name. I am from Darfur. I was born in a small village in eastern of Al Jenena, which is the capital of Dharmasalit, of the western state of Darfur. My area was surrounded by three countries. It is located in one of most strategic areas in Sudan. Darfur, and West Darfur especially, it is border Chad in the west and Libya in the north and Central Africa in southwest. Darfur in a whole, one of the largest states in whole Sudan. And it was estimated as the size or two size of France and equal to Texas here in the United States, and maybe even bigger than Texas. Therefore, it is over 197,000 kilometers square. And Sudan, one of the largest countries in whole continent of Africa, it is almost 1 million square miles. And one of the 10 largest countries in whole the world. I am here today, ladies and gentlemen, to share with you my plight, my real tragedy, the genocide that taking place in Darfur right now. It is one of the worst humanitarian crises in this century, as according to United Nations, according to United States, according to those who are very concerned about the estimation or about the strategy of the war and the conflict. I am here for a reason. Before I came here to the United States of America, I used to be in Egypt. I am a student, just like you, in University of Al-Azhar, one of the top universities teaching Islam and other religions, Christianity, and even Judaism and Buddhism, and all religions, beside other materials. When I was studying in Egypt, I heard the first bad news in early 1993 that my village was attacked by the Janjaweed, the Arab militia, allied by the government of Sudan. They destroyed my village totally, among 50 other villages in one day, ladies and gentlemen. Since then, I realized that it must be serious action to be taken regarding this incident. I am just a student. I don't have anything. I don't know any English. I don't have any access in internet. I don't know even how to use a computer. Imagine, ladies and gentlemen, in one of the top universities in the world, the students in university, they don't have no any access in internet. I told my friends who are students with me from Darfur, so to do something urgently. First of all, we decided in our first meeting to go to fight, to defend our people. Secondly, we have to contribute some money to help our people over there. Thirdly, we have to write reports and get some information to circulate them around the world for those who are interested, maybe to help our people. Not those in the Arab world, those in Western world, and we don't know English. But it was a miracle. We started from the beginning, and we sent some of our people over there, but unfortunately, most of them killed just in the border before even they get into Darfur. And then we realized we have something else to do. And we started to write by Arabic. And we get some of our friends in American University in Cairo to help us editing or translating our reports. And that was the open letter, the first report, open letter to the international community about the hidden slaughters and ethnic cleansing in Western of Sudan. Western of Sudan, that means Darfur right now. And that was circulated widely around the world, and that is the point, or that is the started point. We contributed this literature to embassies, foreign embassies in Cairo, beginning from the United States Embassy and British and all European embassies and African embassies and even some Asian embassies. And since then, we get huge, overwhelming calls, overwhelming letters, and people getting very interested to know what is exactly going on over there, and they trying to help by any means. And we started to be targeted by the government of Sudan through the embassy of the Sudan in Cairo. And they used my colleagues, students with me in the same university to chase us, to follow us, and even tried to crush me and one of my friends by a car twice. And they tried to poison me once. But we have been blessed by the God that not the end of our day. That's why we have been recognized by the United Nations and the United States government to be resettled in the United States here. And that's why I am one of those fortunate to come to see you, ladies and gentlemen. My story. When I get the first news from my parents, a week after attack against my village, and they said they are still alive, but 21 of my relatives and family members were killed in that day. Two of my grandfathers were burned alive in their huts because they are disabled to flee, or they couldn't able to make it, to chase or to go away. They burned alive. Two of my sisters raped. Three of my brothers killed. And forget about my friends and other relatives. But this is not the issue. Up to now, Since I received the first message or a letter from my parents, that was in 1993. I don't know where are they right now. They died or they are still alive. I don't know. Only I know my junior brother and one of my sisters. We are 9 brothers and sisters in one family. 11 with my parents. Only I know 2 of them right now. Where are they right now? I don't know where the rest of my family. But it's not the issue all about my family. It is becomes crucial responsibility and commitment for the others even. Because in that time, we are only voice for those who have no voice. And we have to advocate them. We have to work hard to address their issue to the world and to highlight this tragedy, to let and to educate people like you and others to know exactly what is going on. This genocide, in that time, we mentioned this was genocide. Even we don't know what is the meaning of genocide in that time. It is for over a decade. That's why we are considered as the first group who sounded a bell of alarm to alert the international community about the genocide in Darfur before anyone else. That is for over a decade, ladies and gentlemen. It is not just since 2003 when most of you or most of others in this world know that this genocide was just taken place only in 2003, when the 2 insurgency groups, the Justice and Equality Movement and the SLA, Sudanese Liberation Army, were took arms in Darfur to fight against those Janjaweed and this notorious government of the Arabs in Sudan. It is very early. It's over 10 years since early 1990s, when this government of al-Bashir came to the power by coup, by arms, not democratically, not by any election, like what you do here in country of freedom and country of democracy. They came by coup, and they start to force people to follow them. And that is why my people in Darfur refused to follow them. And they considered those people against the government and against those are oppositions, and they have to wipe them out. Just because they don't want to follow them, because they are not coming democratically, they are not coming by any elections, and my people, even most of them, they are ignorant. They are not educated people, because we have been marginalized for a long time since the independence of Sudan. 1st of January 1956, we have been dominated totally by the Arabs governments, government after government, government after government, up to now when Bashir came to the power. It is Arab supremacy, it is Arab domination, it is Arab colonialism, and we have been ruled by those, and we have been forced to follow them. That's why my people refused. And they started to target them. They started to target, first of all, those intellectuals of Darfurians, those who are well-educated, those who considered leaders of Darfur, the parliament members, the government officers from Darfur, businessmen, teachers, those have been targeted, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, to kill them. They collecting them and kill them wherever they go. Follow them when they are traveling from village to village, from town to town, when they walk to their farms, when they walk to their jobs, when they are sleeping in their houses, in their homes. They sentence them, they kill them collectively. And even in that time, we don't know that this is systematic campaign to eliminate and to eradicate certain people from just certain ethnic groups. And those, from the beginning, they started to kill those intellectuals of Masalit tribes. Masalit tribes, one of the major tribes. There are four major tribes in Darfur. Masalit tribe, Four tribe, Zagawa tribe, and Dajo. Those are major tribes. And they started to kill those who are intellectual from those groups. Because they believe, and they made a statement, one of the government members, Atayib Sikha, he made a statement and he said, those are the head of his neck, we have to cut it off, and then the others will follow us. The others are minorities. We have over 64 of tribes. The four are major tribes, as mentioned right now, and the others like Borno, like Borgo, like Tama, like Breyat, like Regat, like Amjalul, like those who are Sinar, and others are minorities. And the most of Darfur indigenous are black Africans, Muslims. And most, you know, in south of Sudan, those are black African Christians. And in east of Sudan, those are Bija, also black African. And in Nuba Mountain, those are black Africans mixed between Muslims and Christians and animists. The total majority of Sudan are blacks, Muslims and non-Muslims and animists, and those almost over 85% of the indigenous of Sudan. The Arabs, ladies and gentlemen, only 17%, but they have a power. They are ruling the country, and they are using our people even before to kill each other when the war taking place in south of Sudan against the Denka, those black Christians. They use the same people from Darfur and from other areas as a holy war against those non-Muslims who consider them as infidels and kuffar and enemies to wipe them out. Against their own brothers, just because they are different in religion. And in that time, they declared the war against those people as a holy war and war against Kuffar. And they recruited for this even their brotherhood, Arab brotherhood from neighboring countries and even from Muslim countries, unfortunately, to help them financially and even send them people and send them weapons. And when the war in South of Sudan, ladies and gentlemen, over since last year, when the former Vice President, Dr. John Garang Demobior, the charismatic guy, one of the rare figures in whole Africa, when he achieved the peace by the sponsors of the United States and United Nations and some of Europeans, they achieved the peace for the first time after not only 20 years, after over 49 years, because this war in South of Sudan, one of the longest wars in whole Africa. It started since even before the independence of Sudan in January 1956. It started since 1954, 2 years before the independence of Sudan, before we born. This peace was achieved, the comprehensive agreement peace in between South of Sudan and the government of the North Arab Sudanese. And just 3 weeks after that peace, unfortunately, they killed this leader, Dr. John Garang, and they claimed he was died in airplane crash between Uganda and Sudan. And I, one of those suspicious in these killings. That is another issue. It is very similar between the issue of the war in South of Sudan and Darfur. That's why I'm trying to make some of comparison between them. When this comprehensive peace agreement was achieved last year, the government shifted all his forces to Darfur. Those Darfurians, which they used them before against their brothers in South, right now they turn over them. Even they are Muslims, just like them. But those, because they are Muslims, Africans, non-Arabs, and those are Muslim Arabs. The issue is not Islam. The issue is not Christianity. The issue is not exactly a religion. The issue is something else. It is racism. It is discrimination. They're trying to wipe out all those black Africans. It doesn't matter to be black Christian. It doesn't matter to be black Muslim. You have to be Muslim and Arab to stay in Sudan, to be considered. Otherwise, you have to be wiped out. And that's why they started to wash the area in Darfur to wipe them out. They killed up to now, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, the best estimation right now, it is 400,000 people killed in Darfur. The United Nations estimation is only 180,000. 180,000. Our own estimation, because we started from the very beginning, over a decade, we know that very well. Just since 1980s until 2002, they killed over 150,000 people in Darfur and displaced 200,000 to Chad only. If you added that to 400,000, over 500,000 people killed in Darfur, ladies and gentlemen. But unfortunately, this 150,000, they excluded this number. And no one maybe know exactly how many people get killed. People, that's why they consider the war just began in 2003, and that is not right. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, while we are talking here, so many people dying every day. And most of those who are dying, kids, children. Because of so many diseases, because there is no any milk for them, because there is no good food for them, because there is no mercy for them. And women, forget about men, most of men killed. And a few of those, just like you students who are right now fighting against the Janjaweed and the government of Sudan, they are mostly are students from universities and from schools, high schools. They left their schools to go to defend their people when they failed to get any protection, when they failed to get any international intervention, when they failed to get anyone to save the life of our people in Darfur. And they have nothing to do. There is totally different between them and between the logistics, the capability, the power that the government and Janjaweed have. Those have been supported by the Arab leagues, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know that. The whole Arab country and their organization, Arab leagues, they played a major role to support the government of Sudan since the beginning up to now. And they concluded this supporting by the forum or the summit held just 3 days ago in Khartoum, and all those Arab countries gathered together over there to support the government of Sudan and to resist and block any international intervention to Darfur so as to save those people of Darfur, to stop this genocide. Instead of welcoming those troops from United States or from United Nations or from the Western to go to save those people, they don't want that. They don't want that. Simply because they are Arabs and the government of Sudan are Arabs and they have to protect and save the government of Sudan even though they know very well they are criminals, they are notorious, they are perpetrated one of the worst humanitarian tragedy in this earth. The Arab leagues and unfortunately even other of Muslim countries, they stand an idol and they kept quiet and no even mention or say any word, even a word, against the government of Sudan to stop these killings. What you're doing is not right. You have to stop these killings. You don't have to kill those human beings. Regardless their Islam, regardless their culture, or regardless anything else, those are human beings. Government of Sudan, you have to stop killings of those people. Unfortunately, we will never hear even a word from the United Arabs Leagues to stop the government of Sudan from killing those Muslims. If they don't want to say it when they are killing the black Christians in South of Sudan for over 49 years, and they supported those governments renewed for all this time by any means to wipe them out. Luckily, they get their peace right now in South. Still, the issue here in Darfur is genocide, ladies and gentlemen. And when this genocide was identified by the United States of America, when Colin Powell visited Darfur 2 years ago and he came back with the Kofi Annan, and he said, before the hearings of the senators and Congress, and he told them, this is genocide. Honestly, I have to say, this is genocide. And he said, and since then, in that September of 2004, the issue was identified as genocide. And when anything or any war identified as genocide, people have to act. United States has to act. United Nations has to act. All the world has to act to stop this genocide because it is genocide. But unfortunately, no any action taken up to now to stop this genocide. No any action taken, ladies and gentlemen, up to now to halt these killings, these mass destructions. When they destroyed all the villages in Darfur, all the villages totally destroyed. Most of Darfurians living in the suburbs, they don't like to live in the towns because they are farmers. Their villages totally destroyed. Right now, they are in the camps or within the camps, outside the borders in Chad and in neighboring countries. And I am one of those here in the United States, ladies and gentlemen. Their wells, water resources, totally poisoned. They don't have even forced, ladies and gentlemen. In my village, we don't have any forced of water. I want to tell you frankly. I have some of my people, they even don't know what is the force of water. They don't know what is the clean water. We are drinking dirt water since we have born. And I am a little bit luckier because we have been transferred for so many places because my father was used to work in the army. But my people in my village and other villages, they don't even enjoy it. They didn't enjoy any electric. They didn't enjoy any of clean water, ladies and gentlemen. No clinics, no schools, nothing, no companies to work. They have to go to work to Khartoum, in Khartoum, or in the center, or in the north center of Arabs. We have been totally marginalized for all this time, since the independence of Sudan. We just replaced the British colonialism by Arab colonialism. And this is worse than even British colonialism. United Nations. When the United States recognized this was genocide, and I said no action taken up to now, and United Nations, they even don't want to say that. Sorry. The United Nations, even they didn't want to say it. Even they didn't want to mention the word of genocide for a long time. You know why? You know what? Why? Because they know very well that this was genocide, but they don't want to say genocide. They don't want to name it by its own name because that is not good for them, because they have to be forced to act to stop this genocide. So as not to act, they don't want to call it by its name. And that is shameful. That is immoral. United Nations, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it is representing most of the world. Over 130 something countries in this United Nations. On top of this United Nations, we have a Security Council responsible to make resolutions to protect the human beings, to stop wars, to protect people, to do the right thing for the humanity in this world. They failed to do something for my people in Darfur. They failed before Darfur, Rwanda. And Kofi Annan is still in the power, is still on top of United Nations. And he will never act to stop Rwanda genocide when the United Nations peacekeepers inside Rwanda and witnessing the killings in front of their eyes, and Roland Dole, the leader of the peacekeepers of United Nations at that time, he begging United Nations and Clinton government to give them mandate to stop it, to stop this genocide. But unfortunately, he wasn't given any mandate to do that. Until they killed hundreds of thousands of civilians in Rwanda in only 3 months. And still, when we say never again, we still repeat it here in Darfur. And shamefully, still Kofi Annan in the power. And nothing. He will never learn. Nobody of those learn. And she reminded me, Elizabeth, when she said, our President Bush, when he came to the power, he made a statement. He said, it's not going to be on my watch. It's not on my watch. I will never allow that to happen. But unfortunately, it's happening now. And he is still here. Ladies and gentlemen, the issue of human beings is not considered. To protect people from killing, from annihilation, from eradication, from not being wiped out, that is not considered. 3 resolutions made by the United Nations Security Council through 2 years, or more than 3 resolutions. Most of those resolutions supposed to be implemented. First of all, to apply sanctions against the government of Sudan, to apply sanctions against, to freeze their assets, to apply non-fly zone in Darfur so as not any of the airplane of the government to fly over the villages of those innocent people, to bombard them, to kill them, to burn them. Unfortunately, nothing of those implemented. To allow the aid workers to move freely, to go to save those who have been killed, to save those who are still survived, to just feed them, to treat them medically, and to get them sanitized water, and to get them any kind of help. Unfortunately, up to now, those humanitarian aid workers interrupted and not allowed to visit some of the camps. Right now, we have some of camps, they don't have food. They don't have gas. We don't have gas. We are living on top of lakes of oil, ladies and gentlemen, and we don't have gas in Darfur. We don't have gas, we don't have a stove, we don't have electric. Our ladies, our girls, they have to go out to get firewood, to make food, to cook for their kids, and to make them something to eat. They have no choice. They have to go in the bush here, all the kilometers, to get the firewood. They get them to rape them. And if a man kill him, woman, if she resisted, beat them and get them unconscious and rape them. Just last week, four of ladies attacked and beaten because they are resisting, and they get raped. And they took them to the hospital. And when they asked the African Union to save them and to stop this, they went over there and just they picked up report, ladies and gentlemen, and that's it. This is what the African Union do up to now. The camps guarded by the Janjaweed, who have been pulled in the army, who have been pulled in the police to guard their victims. Killers guarding their victims in the camps, in the towns, right now, ladies and gentlemen, in the attendance of African unions, which is incapable, which is insufficient, which is unwilling to do anything to stop the killings that they brought to Darfur. They have more than 3 years. They failed totally to save and to stop killings in Darfur, the African Union. And still, they extended their mission last month in Mars. They extended their mission to be existed, to continue over there in Darfur. Even they know very well that they will never do anything. They extended again, ladies and gentlemen, to stay in Darfur. And the government of Sudan worked with them and resisted any international intervention. Just they wanted African Union to be there. What does that mean? And the United Nations accepted that. When in the beginning of March, the United Nations said, we have to take over African Union because they failed. And that's right. And that's the right thing to do. 7,000 troops, they totally failed. But unfortunately, we get only words, we get only promises, and people are still dying. And United Nations, up to now, they don't want to do anything. Ladies and gentlemen, and the worst and painful thing, we get news right now that those African Union troops, they are raping the women. Those who brought to protect those women and those civilians, those innocent people, African Union right now start to rape the women of Darfur, ladies and gentlemen. Go to see the live video in channel More 4 of United of Britain. Right now it is alive. Right now it is alive. You will see the facts. Those who are supposed to protect those refugees, those survivors. It is not enough, ladies and gentlemen, the Janjaweed who are raping the ladies and killing the people day after day, day through the night. It's not enough, those who have been killed and raped by the government arms of Sudan. It's not enough. Those even who send them to protect them, they do the same as Janjaweed and the government of Sudan. It is Who will go to help us? Who will go to protect those people? Who will go to stop this chaos? Ladies and gentlemen, as I said, you will see if you are still here. If just no any action taken to stop this, in these coming days, or in this coming 2 months or 3 months, you will witness the end of Darfur. There's nobody gonna left in Darfur. Those 3 millions who are left over there, they're gonna get rid of them. Because the government of Sudan and those Janjaweeds, they are very confident right now, because they know very well nobody will intervene to save those people from them. Because simply China backing them. China, one of the great countries who has a veto, like United States of America, and it is a member of those 5 members who have a veto in Security Council in the United Nations. Those like China and Russia and even France and even maybe Pakistan and the other country, even they don't have a veto like Qatar, an Arab country. Unfortunately, they are working together to support the government of Sudan, to support this government of Arabs, which has killed millions of people and is still killing those people. This genocide, they are supporting the government of Sudan. You know why? And they're blocking any resolution made not to be implemented just by vote. And the United States will never compete 4 or 3 countries together when they are voting. China and Russia and Qatar and France and others, they voting in any resolution made in through the Security Council not to implement it, not to be implemented, not to be applied against the government of Sudan, just because they want to guarantee this government to be saved, this government to be continue ruling the country of Sudan so as to guarantee to get the share of oil. China has over 40% oil share in Sudan. That's why they want the government of Sudan to stay. And nobody touches this government. Even they perpetrated genocide against human beings. That's not important. Human beings are not important. The important thing is to get their benefits and their interests and this kind of stuff. Russia, unfortunately, it is a partner of the government of Sudan and a best friend, because supporting government of Sudan by weapons and get a lot of money. And they wanted this government to continue. Darfurians are not important. Human beings are not important. France the same. They have at least Total Fina company investing in oil, largely in Sudan. They wanted to be continuously working over there to get this money of oil. This our money, this is oil, our oil, used against us and given to those criminals, those notorious governments. Who is supporting the criminals is a criminal. Supporting the killers is a killer. And those other companies who investing in oil in Sudan, ladies and gentlemen, or investing in any kind of business in Sudan, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope if you know any one of those, please work to let them divest from Sudan. Because the blood business is a bad business. I thank very much those companies and those universities who divested from Sudan. My heart greeting to them, and thank you for them. And I ask any one of those do not divest it from Sudan, to divest immediately. And I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, I know the students always, they have been very active. They have a motivation. They have a power and tireless and dignity and working hard all the time to support Darfur. Everywhere I go, it's really very inspiring. You are such wonderful people. I hope if our leaders like you and your professors, I hope if our senators listen to you, I hope if our civilians listen to this, I hope everyone, if he is aware, to do something for human beings. It is a responsibility for us as human beings and commitment for our leaders. We are making a history, ladies and gentlemen. And the history will never forgive anyone who did and hurt human beings, especially when the issue is genocide. I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, to do anything possible for your limited time, I know. Send letters to the senators. Talk to them. Send calls to Bush administration. Talk to him. Send signatures. Talk to your community. Send letters to United Nations. Make demonstrations. Make vigils. Do anything that possible you can do. Send books to those kids in Chad, in Darfur. Send them crayons, send them money, send them medicine, send them anything you can. Send them just clothes, send them shoes. They don't have nothing. It is so shameful, ladies and gentlemen. We have been talking in this issue for over a decade, 13 years up to now. But unfortunately, no any serious action taken up to now. No any conscience. No commitment, as I said, for human beings. My people said, and still saying, and this is a real story, ladies and gentlemen. And I was there in that time. In the famine and drought in early 1980s, when Reagan was here in the power, they sent tons of food and medicine and clothes and stuff for Darfur, because hundreds of thousands died of famine in that time. In that time, any buckets of food written Ronald Reagan, gift from Ronald Reagan for people of Darfur. I still remember that. And those tremendous food saved the life of my people. My people, since then, they are very, very believing in America. One of those people in the election of President Nimeiri, the former Nimeiri before this government and the government before, in 1985 he was left. When they're trying to re-elect him and they send campaigns, students send them around in the villages and towns to collect people and their names and so as to let them to come to vote. And they throw their campaigns, they ask it, this guy who riding in his camel from our people in Darfur, and they stopped him and he said, Ta'al Hina, that means come here. Yazol Ta'al Hina, hi guy, come here. He said, what? They told him, in Azinab Tresha, Rais, we need you to elect our president. He said, who is your president? They told him that President Nimeri. He said, Nimeri? I don't know Nimeri. If there is a Reagan here, I will vote for him. Can you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? They said, why? He said, because Reagan saved our life. And he sent us a food when we are hungry. And you did nothing for us. I don't know Nimeri. I know Reagan. Or anyone from America. If he came here, I will vote for him. And he drove his camel and he went. Those are my people in Darfur. Right now they're asking me, frankly, when George W. Bush was re-elected, some of my people said, Muhammad, you and all Darfurians, you have to vote for Bush. Because we believe that Bush will save us. Can you believe this? I told them that I just still come here. I don't have right to vote. I still a refugee and I didn't get even the citizenship. But I will ask the other Darfurians who have been for a long time here to vote for him. And that's what we did. And what's happened then? Unfortunately, they are very disappointed. Still no any action taken to save the life of Darfurians who are extremely believe in the United States of America and George W. Bush and any leader of America. They are very honest. Whenever you get them food and you saved their life, they will never forget it. And even they named some of their kids Reagan, some of their kids Bush. Can you believe that? Those are my people. They are very innocent, very simple. And they think everything just changed like that. Go to Bush. Talk to him. We need him to come to save us. It's not easy. Even I can't. It's not easy even to see Bush, to meet him, to tell him their message. I wish if I could able to tell him this message and so many messages. Ladies and gentlemen, we know the United States of America always playing a wonderful initiative to free the people of the world. Exactly like what they did in Kuwait. They freed Kuwait from Iraq in just a couple days. They freed some people of Yugoslavia, some of Africans. And right now in Iraq, it has been taking so long, and they face tremendous challenges. And most of our people, brothers and sisters, killed over there. But is that reason not to act to stop this genocide in Darfur? That's not the reason. And the United States still could play a lead in this issue. I believe the United Nations will never intervene militarily to stop this genocide. Europeans will never do it. Canadians will never do it. Nobody in this world could dare to do it unless the United States of America could take the initiative, took the initiative, and took the leads. And I believe then all those going to follow the United States of America to do the job, to do the right in Darfur. I hope this is going to happen very quickly and immediately before it was too late. I believe that's going to be happening. And you will witness, if you are still here, that the same scenario when that was happening in Rwanda. And Kofi Annan, he went over there and President Clinton, he went over there. They went over there in Rwanda over the dead bodies. And they cried over the dead bodies after the war was over. And they regret their inaction. They regret their disappointment. And they said, oh, we don't know that it's going to happen. And we don't realize that those killings will be happening in this way. We hope if we could did it very early to save the life of those people. And they regret. But unfortunately, it is right now in Darfur. And they're going to do the same thing when the people of Darfur were totally eliminated and they wiped them out. They will go to Darfur, Kofi Annan and President Bush, and to cry over the dead bodies and to say the same as they did before. Oh, we are so sorry. This shouldn't be happening. We should have stopped before this time. Ladies and gentlemen, it is very painful. Believe me, it is very painful. And I conclude my speaking by a very common phrase. Always my people saying it. Whenever they fail to get any help, whenever they fail to get any protection, whenever they fail to get any human being to stand to help us, to help them, they always saying, Allah Karim. You know what Allah Karim means? Allah Karim means is when you failed the world to act, you failed any of your friends to act to stop those who are killing you, you say Allah Karim. Allah Karim is only my God will help me. Only my God will bless me. Only my God will protect me. And that's only what's left for my people right now. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.